Title: Distorted Impacts That Still Leave Headroom Advanced. Alright, let's build distorted drum and bass impacts that feel absolutely massive, but don't hijack your entire mix bus. Because here's the classic problem: you distort an impact, it gets exciting, it gets aggressive, and suddenly your master is clipping even though the drop still doesn't feel as big as you want. That happens because distortion creates harmonics fast, and it increases average loudness, the RMS, way faster than you expect. So the mix bus runs out of headroom before the drop has room to punch. Today you're going to build a reusable Ableton impact rack with three layers: a clean transient layer for punch, a distorted body layer for weight and grit, and an air layer for size and width. Then we'll add local peak control so the impact stays loud feeling without being loud measuring. And I'll show you a couple arrangement moves so your impacts hit hard without shrinking the snare. Let's set the session up first. Set your tempo to a typical drum and bass range, 172 to 176 BPM. On the master, add spectrum so you can see what's going on, and add a limiter purely as temporary safety. Set the ceiling to -1 dB, look ahead around 1 millisecond, and keep the gain at 0. This is not your loudness stage, it's just there so you don't accidentally blast your ears while sound designing. And here's your target while designing. The impact channel itself should peak around -6 dBFS before mastering. That's a big mindset shift. If you need your impacts peaking at 0 to feel big, the sound design is doing the wrong job. Now pick a source impact. Garbage in, garbage out, especially with distortion. Choose a short metal hit or fully slam, a cinematic boom, a crash with a transient, or the classic trick: pitch down tom plus a noise burst. Drop the sample into simpler and classic mode. If you don't need warp, leave it off. Set voices to 1. One shots are way easier to control when they're effectively mono at the core. Shape it quickly in the simpler envelope. Keep attack basically instant, like 0 to 2 milliseconds. Set decay somewhere between 150 and 600 milliseconds depending on whether you want a tight slam or a longer cinematic tail. Sustain all the way down since it's a one shot, and a little release, like 30 to 120 milliseconds, just to avoid clicks and to control the tail. Now we build the core workflow, the rack. Group your impact track if you want it organized. Name it something like Impacts, and on the impact track itself add an audio effect rack. Create three chains. Name them Transient Clean, Body Distort, and Air Noise Top. This is the whole philosophy. You keep the transient readable and punchy while you go savage on the body. If you distort everything in one lane, your transient gets smeared, your peaks get unpredictable, and you end up pushing level instead of making it feel big. Let's do the transient chain first. On transient clean, add EQ 8, high pass around 30 to 45 Hz. We're not trying to carry sub information on the transient layer, we're trying to carry clarity. If it's boxy, do a gentle dip around 200 to 400 Hz, maybe 1 to 3 dB. And if you need the hit to speak, a small wide boost in the 2 to 5k range can add that crack or tick that survives in a busy drop. Then add drum bus, but keep it subtle. Drive maybe 2 to 6%. Crunch near 0 to 10%. Keep boom off here. We'll manage low end later on purpose. Turn transients up, around plus 10 to plus 25, and then adjust output so you're not accidentally making this chain louder. Teacher tip: if you don't level match, you will always prefer the louder setting, even when it's worse. Then add utility. Keep the transient mostly mono. Width from 0 to 40% is usually plenty. Set the chain gain so this transient chain by itself peaks around -12 to -8 dBFS. Your goal is simple: a clean punch that reads even on small speakers and doesn't disappear under the drums. Now the body chain, where the chaos happens, but controlled. First, pre-filter before distortion. This is non-negotiable if you want headroom. Add EQ 8 at the start of the body chain. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz, steep, like 24 dB per octave. Then low pass around 6 to 10k. Why? Because if you distort fizzy highs and uncontrolled subs, you create junk energy that eats headroom without adding useful bigness. If it blooms too much, cut a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. Now add saturator as your main harmonic generator. Set it to analog clip. Push drive hard, like plus 6 to plus 14 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then pull output down to level match. That output knob is your best friend. You want more character, not more volume. After that, add roar if you have it, or overdrive if you want it simpler. With roar, try tube or noise styles for nasty texture. Keep drive moderate at first, maybe 10 to 30%, and shape tone so the body lives roughly in that 120 Hz to 4K zone. Mix anywhere from 30 to 70% depending on aggression. If you're using overdrive, set the frequency somewhere between 500 and 1500 Hz, drive around 20 to 60%, tone around 30 to 50, and dry wet around 30 to 60. Now we need peak control inside the body chain, so distortion doesn't create random spike monsters. Add glue compressor. Attack around 3 milliseconds so you don't kill the initial punch. Release on auto, or something like 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 4 to 1. Set threshold, so you're getting maybe 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on the loudest part. And keep makeup off. We don't want louder, we want controlled. Next, keep the low body mono friendly. Here's the quick pro method. Add EQ8 after distortion and switch it to M/S mode. On the side channel, high pass around 120 to 180 Hz. That keeps the low end centered, which stops your limiter from pumping and keeps mono translation strong. The impact will feel wider, but the fundamentals won't wobble your master. Now the air chain. The air layer is where you make the impact feel expensive and wide, without fighting hats and rides. Create a short noise layer. You can use operator noise, analog noise, or a noise sample in simpler. Keep it short, like 50 to 250 milliseconds. It should basically kiss the impact. Add auto filter and high pass around 4 to 8K. Tiny resonance is okay. If you want extra bite, use a bit of envelope modulation so it opens quickly and then settles. Add redux very lightly. Downsample 2 to 8, bit reduction 0 to 2. If you overdo it, the air becomes a harsh sheet that steals attention and makes the mix feel smaller. Then utility. This is the wide layer, width 140 to 200%. But keep this chain quiet. The air layer should be felt more than heard. If you can clearly hear the noise as a separate thing, it's probably too loud. Now, before we get excited and start twisting knobs, let's build macros so this rack is playable and mix safe. Map drive to the saturator drive and the roar or overdrive drive. Map byte to an EQ bell boost in the 2 to 4K range, either in the transient chain or the body chain, depending on where you need it to read. Map boom to a subtle low shelf around 60 to 90 Hz on the body chain and keep it subtle, like 0 to 3 dB. Map width to the air width and maybe a gentle amount on the body. Map length to simpler decay or release. And map air to the air chain volume. And here's the rule while using macros. Always compensate output so turning drive doesn't just make the rack louder. If you don't do that, you're not making a better impact, you're just turning it up. Now the headroom trick. Clip locally, not globally. After the Audino effect rack on the track, another saturator as a final safety clipper. Use digital clip or analog clip. Drive just +1 to +4 dB, soft clip on, and set output so your impact peaks around -6 to -3 dBFS max. Then put a limiter after it only to catch rare spikes, ceiling at -1, look ahead 1 millisecond, and set it so it's barely touching, like 1 to 2 dB on the absolute loudest moments. This chain is important. Tiny clip, then tiny linnet, beats one limiter working hard every time. When a limiter has to do heavy lifting, it leaves fingerprints. You hear the impact flatten, and you feel the whole drop get smaller. Now I want to give you a coaching concept that will level up how you judge headroom. Stop using peak meters as the only judge. Two impacts can peak at the same level, but one will sound way louder because its RMS is higher. So do this practical check. Turn the impact down by 6 dB. If it still reads clearly in the mix, you built the right harmonic balance. If it vanishes, you were relying on level, not identity. And that leads to another key. Design it mix loudness, not solo loudness. Put kick, snare, and bass in a loop and build the impact underneath them. If it feels huge solo but disappears in the full drop, the fix is usually mid-range definition, roughly 700 Hz to 3K, not more drive. Now let's talk about the part that secretly eats headroom, sustain. Think of a distorted impact like a transient plus a sustain instrument. The sustain is what pushes average loudness and makes the master limiter work. So a really advanced move is shaping sustain down after distortion so you keep violence up front, without paying for it for half a second. You can do this with an envelope follower. For example, put an envelope follower on the transient chain and map it to the body chain utility gain with a negative amount. Translation: the transient hits, then it ducks the body tail automatically. The attack stays forward, the tail gets tamed, and your mix bus breathes. Another advanced variation is split band distortion inside the body. Create two sub-chains, low body from about 80 to 250 Hz, keep it cleaner or mildly saturated, and mid-body from 250 Hz to 4K, distort that harder. That's how you get loud without turning the low end into a square wave. You can also do M/S distortion tricks. High pass the side channel higher than you think before distortion, like 250 to 500 Hz, and then add more grit to the sides than the mid. The impact feels wider, but the fundamental stays solid in mono. Now let's place impacts in a rolling DNB drop without masking the snare. The snare is king. If your impact makes the snare feel smaller, the impact is not doing its job, no matter how cool it sounds. Try a pre-drop impact half a bar or a full bar before the drop, and make sure the tail stops right at the drop. For the drop start, hit on bar 1 beat 1, but shorten the tail so it's out of the way by the first backbeat snare, often on beat 2. You can automate the length macro for that. Then use heavier impacts every 8 or 16 bars as phrase markers. Don't put massive impacts every bar. In drum and bass, constant big impacts just turn into constant masking. Here's a sneaky arrangement trick. Create impact windows. Put the transient on the downbeat, but automate the body chain level to dip 1 to 2 dB right before the snare hits. That tiny move can keep the groove feeling fast and clean, while the impact still feels huge. And one more. Pre-impact negative space. Instead of turning the impact up, pull something else down right before it. Dip hats or the top of the Reese for an eighth note to a quarter note before the hit. The impact will feel louder without costing you headroom. Let's lock this in with a quick practice exercise. Pick one impact sample and build the three-chain rack. Make two versions. Version A, cleaner, less distortion, more transient. Version B, heavier, more body drive and more air width. Arrange a 16-bar loop. Bar 1, use version A short. Bar 9, use version B longer with more air. And the rule, your impact track must peak no higher than minus 6 dB FS before the master limiter. If you can't meet that, it means you're trying to buy excitement with level instead of harmonic structure and transient design. This audio version is shortened for playback.